Romans 2, verses 12 through 16, these are God's words. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So how do we know that we will be judged, and how immense, how dreadful that judgment will be? Well, in part because the Bible says so. But he makes the point here that we are going to be judged according to Jesus Christ, and that what will be judged is not only our outward work, but our secrets, and that the gospel displays how great that judgment will be. Start to unpack this a little bit. We answer the question of how can Gentiles who do not have the law be judged? So he says, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And then he says, for when Gentiles, verse 14, who do not have the law by nature, do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. So Gentiles, when they show that they know right and wrong, then whether or not they're acknowledging that it came from God, they are displaying that they know that God is. It is an indication that however hard they are pushing down upon the truth in unrighteousness, however hard they suppress the truth in unrighteousness, they know. They know that God is. He made himself known to them, and he's displayed the truth about himself in the creation, and he has written his law on their hearts. So he said in verse 32 of the last chapter about them, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. So the Gentile, even without the law, he knows the existence of God. He knows the glory of God. He knows the righteousness of God. He knows that he deserves for the glory of God to express itself upon him in punishment. So even without any Bible at all, we would already know the greatness, or have an indication of the greatness of the hell that sin deserves. So that's how the Gentile who doesn't have the law can be judged. Well, there were Jews who thought that having and hearing the law made them safe. They thought, oh yes, those are Gentile sinners. Like Paul says to Peter and Barnabas when he's rebuking them in Galatians chapter 2. Yeah, we're not Gentile sinners like they are. And he, of course, tells them in that place that they already agree that they are saved by faith. And, of course, Gentiles can only be saved by faith as well. But there were Jews who thought that way, that the Gentiles are the sinners and the Jews are the favored ones. And so Paul has to go on in the second half of verse 12 and say, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. You see, the law doesn't say, congratulations, you have the law, you're safe. The law says you must be holy as Yahweh your God is holy. The law says, as we finished hearing in the 10th commandment today, that God wants righteousness, God wants holiness, even from the thoughts and inclinations of the heart. The law, in its moral aspect, demands more than we could ever give. And then the law, in its ceremonial aspect, says, you deserve to have your throat slit, all of your blood spilled out, the wages of sin is death, and after you die, you deserve to have the fire of God burn itself upon you. This was displayed in many different ways in the ceremonial law. And so it is astonishing, except for we know that our sin is deceptive and we will misuse and twist anything that God says apart from the help of the Spirit. It is astonishing that there were Jews who thought that because they had and heard the law, that somehow they were safe. So the apostle says in the second half of verse 12, and we'll read into the first half of verse 13 now, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Now this cuts in two different ways. One is if you want to be justified by the law, then you have to be justified by doing it, which you can't. But the other is that the law here is talking about all of God's law and includes the ceremonial law that points forward to Christ. And a right doing of the sacrifices was not to think that somehow you slaughtering the animal and burning it or buying it and handing it over to the priest who does, that somehow that takes away your sin. But the right doing of the law would be to be instructed by the law to be justified through faith alone, even as had been told to Abraham. And then God gave the law as a schoolmaster to keep us walking in the faith way of Abraham and not the works way of the devil and of the flesh until Jesus came, and it became all the more clear by his finished work, and by baptism, and by circumcision, and the ordinances of the New Testament church, that only the faith way of salvation works. The only way to be made right with God is by trusting in Jesus, by his sacrifice wiping away your sin, and his righteousness being counted for you. Indeed, Hebrews tells us if we understood the law correctly, we would have known that the blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away sin because they had to be sacrificed over and over, year after year. And so there are two ways in which to read this, the doers of the law will be justified. One, if you wanted to be justified by law instead of by faith, by grace through faith, then you would have to keep it perfectly, which you can't. But two, that the law itself taught you to trust in Jesus. So having the law doesn't put you in a better place than the Gentile. The Gentile is accused by the display of the glory of God in the world. The Jew is accused by the display of the glory of God in the world and the display of the glory of God in the word that God had given him. It didn't make him safer unless by the Spirit's blessing of that word to him, he was taught by the law to hope in the promised Redeemer alone. That would be a means by which the law brought him not to works, but to faith in Jesus Christ. So God will judge in the last day. All of this is still coming out of treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And then we had in verses 6 through 11 that there was no partiality with God. And now he's saying the Gentiles are under judgment. First half of verse 12 and then verse 14 and verse 15. And then we have the Jews are under judgment. Second half of verse 12 and all of verse 13. And that brings us to verse 16, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So the creation said, God is glorious, and our sin against him is immense. Our sin is against his glory. And then the law came and said, God is glorious and full of wrath. Behold the death and the burning that our sin deserves. And then the gospel comes, and does the gospel say, just kidding, God isn't that glorious and your sin's not so bad? No. The gospel comes and says, God is so glorious and your sin is so bad that it actually requires God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, to suffer the wrath of God in order to save you. And so verse 16 comes and says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So he says, in the gospel, Jesus is displayed as a propitiation. Jesus Christ is displayed as the greatness of the glory of God on the one hand, and the greatness of the guilt of our sin on the other hand, that it could only be he who could atone for our sin, and that this atonement was so great that it would be right for God to give his Son in order to do it. So we see the greatness of our sin and the greatness of the wrath that we deserve by the fact of who it is who has atoned for those whom God is saving. He says, don't think that you can be safe because you look better than others or you feel like you're better than others. The Gentile isn't safe. The creation testifies against him. The Jew isn't safe. The Old Testament testifies against him. And the one who hears the gospel is not safe, because the glory of Jesus, who had to be offered for sin, testifies against him. It's the one who believes in Jesus Christ who is safe. You are not safe before God by being in this family and hearing these truths. You are only safe if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, because even the secrets of our hearts are going to be judged according to the standard of Jesus himself. And so you better have Jesus himself as your sacrifice and your righteousness. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us so plainly and so seriously. But perhaps most of all, we thank you that the greatest way in which you have shown us what our sin deserves is by showing us him who has atoned for it, that we might have confidence in him and trust in him and find our safety only in who he is and what he has done. Grant to me, grant to my wife, grant to my children that every single one of us would be believers in Jesus Christ, and that we would be safe not by what we have heard, but by what he has done, and upon which your Spirit makes us to rest by faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.